This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's April 16th. I can't believe we're already halfway through this spring month. After our update, stay tuned for an interview on gut and immune health and why that's important to keep up with during quarantine. Ebola, SARS, and swine flu were all viruses that spread globally, but none shut down society the way COVID-19 has. Why is that? We go now to Radio MD's Bill Klaproth.
So why did the world shut down for COVID-19, but not Ebola, SARS, or the swine flu? Well, here's your answer. SARS was deadly with a fatality rate of 9.4%, but not easily spread. Same for Ebola, the deadliest of them all, killing on average 50% of the people who contracted it. But again, not easily spread. The swine flu, on the other hand, was easily spread but not very deadly with a fatality rate of about 0.1%. So that brings us to COVID-19. Easily spread, hard to track, and severe enough to kill a significant share of those who have it, with a current estimated fatality rate of about 1.4%. To give you a comparison, that's 10 times deadlier than the average seasonal flu, which has a rate of around 0.1%. So it's easy to see how COVID-19 has shut down our world for the foreseeable future. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
Insurers have made it easier for patients to increase their supply of medications by encouraging 90-day supplies, but that could cause shortages of commonly used medications. Pharmacists are reporting seeing spikes in patients trying to extend 30-day prescriptions to 90 days in an effort to secure medications as well as minimize the times they have to leave their homes. A spokesperson for Cigna and Express Scripts, one of the country's largest pharmacy benefit managers, told Specialty Pharmacy Continuum the company is monitoring the situation closely, but that so far they haven't seen a disruption in medication inventory. Olive Veronese had a problem recently. She was stuck on lockdown in her house outside Pittsburgh, and she needed more beer. So the 93-year-old woman held a sign in her window that said just that, "I need more beer." The photo has, of course, since gone viral, and in response, Coors sent 10 cases of beer to her doorstep. A big part of keeping your immune system healthy is being aware of what's happening in your gut. Here with some healthy habits and ones we need to break is Dr. James Laval, a clinical pharmacist, nutritionist, and author of Cracking the Metabolic Code.
So, Dr. Laval, let's get into it. What is the connection between our immune systems and our guts?
Well, that's a great question. What a lot of people don't realize is that 70% of our immune system is actually in our gut. And what dictates a lot of our immune system is beneficial flora. I mean, everybody's heard a lot about probiotics, or the microbiome is a very popular term now. Mm-hmm. But the reality is not a lot of people understand, well, what's good for my gut? What's going to create a healthy belly? And I think it's important for people to also understand that, you know, when your immune system and your gut's not right, you're not going to mount your best defense against any kind of, you know, threat. And so it's important to think about it and really promote a lifestyle that, you know, keeps your gut healthy and keeps your immune system healthy.
Why is this important now during, you know, when there is this virus that could attack our immune systems? What are some ways we can keep our guts healthy during this pandemic?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously COVID-19, I mean, I've been, you know, getting interviewed and actually teaching doctors even what to do as the prevention side, right? Everybody's rushing towards the vaccine or the drug, but we have to think about people that are metabolically challenged. So if you have a low-grade state of inflammation in your body, and that could be done just by your diet, it could be done by stress, it could be done by lifestyle, trying to get that low-grade inflammation down is important. So what are the foods that are good? The first thing is foods that provide prebiotics, meaning the food that your beneficial flora need in order to do their job, which is to, you know, absorb nutrients, you know, help to synthesize hormones, send signals of satiety to your brain. And so that means that you're going to eat a lot of green leafy vegetables. You know, dark green leafy vegetables are high in prebiotics. Green bananas. So if you're going to eat a banana, eat one that the top of the banana is green, because it 20% of the starch in that banana will be called resistant starch, which doesn't go, you know, it goes into your gut, but it doesn't end up in your bloodstream as sugar. It ends up as a prebiotic fiber that helps to, you know, feed your nutrients and for your beneficial flora. The other one that's important are things like, you know, even artichokes are great for prebiotic fiber. Doing chia seeds, hemp hearts, even apples, and some people a small serving of oatmeal. I always watch making recommendations of oatmeal because people think they need to put brown sugar and cinnamon on it along with raisins, and then it becomes something really sweet, and honey, mm-hmm. or maple syrup, and then that defeats the purpose, you know, because diets that are high in sugar are going to disrupt your friendly flora. Diets that are high actually in saturated fat, so a lot of people on the coconut oil craze that are doing tons of it, that can also be disruptive to your microflora or your beneficial flora. So in addition to eating well, if you're on any kind of medications like I'm taking ibuprofen or I'm taking a acid blocking medication, or if you're on oral contraceptives, or if you're on corticosteroids, or if you're on even a diabetic drug called metformin or statin medications, all of those disrupt your microflora. And so you should take, I think a good measure is to take probiotics. I mean, there is one that was studied in stressed out college students during their winter quarter where they gave something called the Healthy Trio, which are three human strain probiotics that have been proven in clinical trials to be beneficial, but they gave it to them and the severity of symptoms went down 34%. The duration of their flu went down by 2 days and the incidence went down. And so this kind of brings back that thought of maybe a best defense is a good offense. You know, we've got a lot of folks that are resorting to, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it on TV. Hey, record sales of alcohol, people were baking, you know, eating sweets and eating a lot of cakes and having alcohol isn't probably the best way to support your immune system, you know, and I'm not saying never drink or never have a sweet. It's just that your lifestyle should be more oriented about what are the things that are going to help me. Take probiotics, the Healthy Trio. I mean, the company that does that, their product's called Chiodophilus, and it's a, you know, human strain studied, guaranteed to the date of expiration. It's a great product to recommend. But the other piece of this is, well, what else do I need to do, right? So I'm going to eat better, maybe take some probiotics. And why that's important is we know that people that are metabolically challenged or have underlying conditions are more at risk with COVID. But we also see people that who are seemingly healthy have issues with COVID-19 as well. My point is that there's this underlying metabolic inflammation that's in our body. It's called metaflammation, and it's actually written about in the clinical literature that people could be going on. Yeah, you know, you're pre-diabetic, or you know, you're diabetic, pre-diabetic. You're overweight or you're obese. That's, you know, when you have those situations, you have the equivalent of a low-grade infection going on in your body in terms of your immune system. So you need to fight against that.
For me, during this time of COVID-19, I know I've been a little stressed out. I am having a few extra glasses of wine, and we ordered a pizza last night. I know those aren't all good gut things, but how do we stay on track? I mean, both with what we're eating when we kind of just want that comfort, and I'm sure stress plays into your gut also.
Well, that's a big deal. I mean, you hit it right on the head there, because what happens is when we get under stress, we want comfort food, right? We either want something sweet or we want something savory. Give me something doughy and cheesy and bread-like, or give me a chocolate-covered pretzel with salt and caramel on it, right? I mean, right?
Exactly.
And by the way, can I have a glass of wine with that? and so, you know, that's your brain telling you when you have those kind of cravings that hit, especially in the evening. That's your brain being stressed and triggering something called the reward cascade. It's almost like you're taking that pizza and rubbing it on your head, like, oh, right? And so the big thing is you know, stress actually impacts your microbiome. So when you're under stress, the good flora go away. I mean, it literally changes the diversity of your beneficial flora when you're under stress. So I always try to get people to understand, here's some ways you can manage that. First of all, try to get a good night's sleep. When you're under stress, you tend to not sleep as well. So really, at the end of the night, prepare for a good night's sleep. Stop the TV. You don't have to watch the last episode of a Netflix series. Save it for tomorrow. You'll be okay. You know, settle down. And you know, get off of your computer, get off of your phones, try to start to relax, do some deep breathing. Even you can do something called box breathing, you know, 4 seconds in, hold 4 seconds, 4 seconds out, hold 4 seconds. That actually resets your nervous system, and you can do that for just a few minutes, and it will really help. And I encourage people to try to do that 2 or 3 times a day, or when they're feeling that anxiety pop up. Do a little deep breathing, reset the nervous system, and also time restrict your eating. You can do, a lot of people do 8-hour eat, 16-hour fast. I tell people maybe do that once or twice a week. And then in general, try to do a 12-12 where, hey, I eat breakfast, I eat lunch, I eat dinner by 7, and I'm done for the evening. And why that's important is your body actually is supposed to eat food during the day and then process it at night. And when you don't do that, it throws off a lot of different hormone processes and repair processes in your body, including your immune system. So try to organize your life. So even though I know it's disrupted, and I know for me, my life is different, but I'm working hard at maintaining a routine. And the other one is exercise, people are getting out and exercising, and everybody's talking about the quarantine 15, So my point is that if you can't go to the gym anymore, and if you don't have a gym in your garage like I do, to do things like take a walk, get moving. You can download an app from everything from basic exercises that are, basically body weight exercises, all the way to advanced type of training, like with Tabatas, which are, combinations of different freehand exercises that are performed in a row. So, the reason exercise is important is it stimulates your immune system. And so you can do intense exercise or moderate exercise, and you still end up getting benefits for your immune system. So when you think about, I want to change my diet, take a probiotic, these are some key things that help us think about, what do I need to change about my life to make me healthier? And I'm hoping that through this pandemic and obvious lots of tragedy, and my heart goes out to everyone that is having any experience, extended experience with this, is that, you begin to take a look at, well, what am I doing? Like, there's nothing wrong with having a nice glass of wine. Look, I'm Italian. You should have invited me over for the pizza. Come on. I like it, but I'm also going to keep a check and balance and, in my wheelhouse saying, all right, but what am I doing on a daily basis? Because I just have to be honest with you. I've been in the healthcare of integrative medicine and natural therapies for 37 years now. And in general, people reach for things when they're broke and they go, how did this happen to me? And I think it's important for us to start to ask the question, what can I do? How can I be stronger? I can live out of that strength versus living out of fear. Even in this situation of the pandemic, what can we do to get us stronger and more robust? How do we return our resiliency to our chemistry?
Great. Well, James, this has been super interesting and helpful. And personally, I know I'm going to take away some tips for getting through the next couple of weeks.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want to be on our podcast or know someone else who might be a good fit, hit us up at COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. That's COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. Join us again Friday for one last update before the weekend. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.